Welcome to Classically Current, where we review new films and old films and link them together with your host, Zach
and Kyle.
Welcome back once again to our show. We are so excited to get into Mulan, the remake, which is not something that Disney is... it is something that Disney has been doing for quite some time now. I mean, if you look back at the first ones that it did, you have even back to the mid-90s with... Rudyard Kipling's The Jungle Book, which I remember watching that one as a young child, and it frightened me tremendously. But ever since then, they've had
The Jungle Book did?
The Jungle Book. It did. There was a snake scene in it. It was terrifying at the end.
It wasn't that bad.
But, you know,
Zach was sheltered as a child, that's why.
I was sheltered, okay. Well, you know, I couldn't watch Lion King, so they let me watch Jungle Book, the live action. So, but they also had 101 Dalmatians in the late 90s, which was a live action. Then they eventually had Alice in Wonderland in 2010. Then you have Cinderella, Jungle Book, Beauty and the Beast, Christopher Robin, Dumbo, Aladdin, Lion King, Maleficent, Lady and the Tramp, and that brings us to Mulan.
Yeah, so...
And the last one was the original cartoon came out in 1998, and this one comes out this year.
What do we think of all of the... redoing these and turning into live action? Are they... I don't know if I think any of them really defeat the original ones, the animated ones.
I haven't really come across one that's really given the original justice. I feel like I liked the Jungle Book remake because, yes, they did remake a live action Jungle Book again because they did one in the 90s and then they did another one later on with Jon Favreau as the director, and that one I actually liked quite a bit. But these one, you just really can't capture the magic of the animated movies. But Disney is going to keep on trying. They're going to be creating more of them in the future. I've heard recently that they're going to do The Little Mermaid as well as others in the future. So this is one of many, just another one that they're going to make and see how much they can make from all of these films. And they actually do pretty well the majority of the time. Lion King made a bunch in the box office recently. This one, however, is a little bit different, which we're going to get into. But we're going to get into the release date and the director profile, because, you know, this movie has been delayed several times. And we're going to get into that, as well as some background information. Talk about the budget and the box office, which sounds kind of silly considering it's mainly just being watched on Disney Plus right now. Also have some critical response. Talk about our expectations and review of the movie and if you should buy it, stream it, or skip it. But without further ado, let the podcasting begin.
Mulan's world premiere was held at the Dolby Theater in Hollywood on March 9, 2020. The film later rescheduled for July 24, 2020, but was delayed again into August. And then it was later claimed that that Disney was going to cancel the film's wide theatrical release in the United States and would instead be premiering the film for a premium fee on Disney Plus. Now that is about $30 if you guys are interested in going onto Disney Plus and buying it. But it is available for purchase until November 2, 2020. Now, obviously all these delays have become issues with the film itself. All the moving of the original release dates. And this is not the only one. There are several other films that have had to kind of push back their release dates. A few to name off the top of my head are Antebellum, which is going to be coming out here shortly. And then I think it's tomorrow, actually. The 18th is when it's supposed to release. You have Soul, which is another, is that a Pixar film, Zach?
Yeah, the Pixar film was supposed to come out in June and is now coming out in November.
Yep, the 007 release as well.
Yeah, with, No Time to Die, the new James Bond.
Mm, yep. The French Dispatch, Candyman, Wonder Woman. So you have actually A Quiet Place Part 2, which I'm kind of excited to see that because I did really like the first one. So there are several of these films that have kind of been forced to reschedule due to the COVID-19 issues going on. And, you know, hopefully.
And you know what this means, Kyle?
What does it mean?
2021's gonna be a baller year for movies.
It better be.
Because there's too much content for next year. I mean, if theaters will be open next year, yeah, too, we'll just see how it goes. They may be delayed to 2022.
Well, actually, Zach, did you know that Avatar was actually supposed to be released, I think, 2021 too? But I don't know if this is kind of due to COVID, but I think they've kind of pushed that back to 2022. It seems like any project that James Cameron works on is going to take at least 20 years to when he's actually finished with it, it seems like. So you just never know.
That's the status quo with James Cameron. But, you know, he does make a lot of technological advancements in his films that do take a lot of time to develop. There's another movie that's been delayed is Batman.
Yes.
With Robert Pattinson, which it was reported that he actually contracted COVID, and that's why they were delaying for the past 2 weeks. And I believe they are just about ready to start back up again. So look for that one next year as well, directed by Matt Reeves.
Yes, and I believe the trailer just came out recently on that one.
So. Yeah, they were just barely able to get a trailer together. I don't even know if they had all the, I mean, I don't think there were very many visual effects shots in that trailer. It was just all done in camera, and it's more of like a grounded, real-type Batman, kind of like Dark Knight with Christopher Nolan. But we'll get into those. We'll keep everybody updated on those as we go along throughout the year. But we're going to get into the director profile with this female director, Nikki Caro.
So she is a New Zealand film director and screenwriter. And, you know, she actually has a few respectable movies under her belt. One of the first ones that she did was Whale Rider, which is about a young girl, Pai Key. I don't even know how I'm going to butcher the name, so I don't want to say it. But she stands as a candidate for the position of tribal chief. So it did win a award at the Sundance Film Festival. She's done North Country, which had Charlize Theron and Frances McDormand, and they were both nominated for Academy Awards for their performances. McFarlane USA, which was another one, came out a few years ago with Kevin Costner. And then you've got The Zookeeper's Wife was, I think, the most recent one that she had done. That's the World War II themed war film. So, and then she was hired to do this one, Mulan remake, in 2017. And she was reportedly the second female film director entrusted by Disney to direct a budget of this size, following Ava DuVernay. And this was a pretty large budget that they did have.
That's a big deal for Disney, because Ava DuVernay, who is more famous for the movie Selma, but she also directed A Wrinkle in Time and also did the Netflix series When They See Us, which is an excellent dramatization of the Central Park Five that took place in the late 90s. It's fascinating. Very much worth your time. But Ava DuVernay got a lot of money. The budget for A Wrinkle in Time was quite a bit. And it's, you know, it's awesome that Disney was able to, and that movie didn't do very well box office wise or commercially. And so good on Disney for actually giving Nikki Caro the resources, because, you know, it didn't work out the way they thought A Wrinkle in Time would with the amount of success that one had. but good on them for actually giving Nicky Caro the resources to make this film. And good on them for having a female director for a female-centric role,
yeah,
like Mulan. So
yeah, I think that was their goal, was mainly to have someone that kind of has, you know, that kind of vision for this character. And what better way than to have someone who is the same gender? However, they did consider Ang Lee, I believe, didn't they, Zach?
For this, yeah, and Ang Lee is a very well-known director. Most recently, I guess he's more famous for Life of Pi.
Crouching Hulk, Tiger, Hidden Dragon was another
Crouching
one.
Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon. He also did one of the iterations of Hulk before the Marvel Cinematic Universe. There was a standalone Hulk movie that was just called Hulk.
Mm-hmm.
But he's done some other
Brokeback
films.
Brokeback Mountain.
Yeah.
He's got quite an extensive background as well. That would have been interesting to see his take on it.
Yeah. And we're going to get into our thoughts on this movie, but it's important to kind of know the movie background. So we will get into that. Walt Disney Pictures actually wanted to get into a live action adaptation of the 1998 film as early as 2010. But the project never came to fruition. But on March 30th, 2015, it was reported that Disney had restarted the development of the live-action adaptation. This one is kind of a tricky one to do compared to the other ones, in that the whole film is in China. It's a very cultural film, and so you really have to try to get those aspects right. And Disney I think that's probably why it took so long for them to bring this to the screen, is just to get all of the cultural elements right and make sure you weren't offending anybody, especially anybody in the Chinese culture that this is representing. So they had to do their due diligence with this film. On February 27th, 2020, it was said that they were going to continue with the film, with the production of the film, but Mushu, the fan favorite from the original, was going to be removed due to the character's negative reception in China, which is interesting because, you know, you don't really see him in the trailer and you're like, where's Mushu? He's like the best part of the original one. He's one of the more humorous elements of that film, but I guess the reception in China was that they didn't care for him much.
Well, that's interesting to me because, you know, here in North America, we've always liked Mushu, right? As kind of the side piece to Mulan's character, and then he's kind of looked down upon in their culture. So it is kind of an interesting take how you have two different cultures that see a character in very different lights.
Yeah, and it's interesting that there's like two groups of Chinese cultures that were kind of at odds with some of the elements of the film. So Disney is trying to balance out what's going to work the best so that's not going to offend anybody with this film. So I feel like it took longer just to get all those cultural elements right. And it also took a long while before they could get the cast just right. You have a lot of well-known Chinese actors in this film. You can probably notice that they have Donnie Yen when you watch the film. I didn't realize this beforehand, but I was watching, I was like, man, that's Donnie Yen from Rogue One, which was another Disney produced film, the Star Wars movie that came out a few years ago. He's in this film. And you also have Jet Li that is here as well. And you have a newcomer. I don't know how to pronounce the female lead's name, but they had looked at a reported 1,000 female actresses for this role.
Wow.
And they finally got it right with this actress. And I felt like she did well in this film. She holds her own for the most part. We'll get into kind of our gripes and our positives and negatives, but I don't want to give too much away from what I think of her performance, but I think she did a good job overall. As far as the budget goes, this was a $200 million budget. So this is an expensive movie to make. And, you know, with it releasing during the COVID season, with everything that's been going on, it's really difficult to make all that money back without having a box office draw. But it did get $23.2 million on its opening weekend in China because they did have it in theaters there. And so,
hey, wait, you really Zach, can't. How much did they give the what was the budget for Nolan's Tenet? Wasn't it around 190?
It was about 205.
Oh, so million. It's very similar budgets with Tenet. Interesting.
Yeah, the budget's very similar, and it's like a complete contrast of how they use their money in this movie compared to Tenet, really.
I would say so too.
In a lot of different ways, but because they're doing everything in camera and Tenet, and then in here you're having a lot of set design and a lot of location, a lot of things that are shot on location, which costs a lot of money. I mean, they did travel around in Tenet as well, but in Mulan they did travel to a lot of different areas. But due to the COVID-19 pandemic, it just did not perform as well, and so Disney actually was going to take it off the release schedule altogether, but they decided to make a compromise and have it on Disney Plus, which I believe they have over 60 million subscribers on Disney Plus now. And so they decided to charge $30 to $35 for this film in America instead of opening it up to the theaters to keep everybody safe. And so that is what they did. And it's reported that about 29% of U.S. households with a Disney Plus subscription bought Mulan through September 12th. And this is based on Disney's most recent earnings report, which claimed that the streaming service has over 60 million global subscribers.
Yeah. So that Mulan would mean about have earned $261 million domestically by that count.
Yeah. And so, yeah. So, I mean, about that's if you go by the math there, it's about 9 million subscribers that actually bought the film. And so that would be, yeah, over 261 million domestically, which is not bad. And keep in mind that that is straight profit because it all goes to Disney. And when you're releasing into a theater, you have to give a certain percentage to the theaters. So right. Disney actually got, they earned $261
cut out the
million
middleman.
Dollars domestically. Yeah, cut out the middleman there, which is interesting. And Tenet, by comparison, crossed $207 million worldwide in its last update, which kind of puts Mulan ahead of that in sales right at this time. But we'll see how it goes. Tenet's still releasing in other parts of the world, I'm sure. But
yeah, let's. With that being said, let's get into the critical response. From what we've gathered, Rotten Tomatoes has given it an approval rating of 75%, and the consensus reads that it could have told its story, its classic story, with greater depth, but the live-action Mulan is a visual marvel that serves as a stirring update to its animated predecessor. On Metacritic, the film has a weighted average score of 67 out of 100, and that is based on 51 critics, which indicates generally favorable reviews. And for IMDb, I believe it is at a 5.4 out of 10. So a little bit lower on IMDb compared with Metacritic and Rotten Tomatoes. But with that being said, did you have any expectations of this film, Zach, before you watched it from the trailer or anything?
Well, I generally watch one trailer or so for a movie. This movie I was more anticipating compared to some of the other remakes because I actually really like the original Mulan. Not to say I don't like the other originals that Disney has made remakes off of, but this is one that I was looking forward to because it looked like they were going to do something different finally. You know, The Lion King was so close to it was pretty much shot-for-shot remake of the cartoon, except it was like a basically like Planet Earth with talking animals. That's what yeah. Lion King was. And this is, which, you know, a technological marvel that was creating all that, but it just didn't give you the same feeling. This I was looking forward to because it did seem like they were going to change things up a bit and not do the exact same thing as the other movie, which we'll get into with a spoiler-filled review right after this. But go. What was your expectations, Kyle?
I mean, I guess I expected a little more violence, given that it is the first Disney live action to be a PG-13 rating. So maybe a little more of that side. Other than that, I didn't know if I thought it was really necessary for them to do a Mulan remake at this time. I mean, Mulan was a film that came right around the turn of the century. You know, like where you have all, some of those other ones, like, I don't know, Cinderella, Beauty and the Beast, like movies that came out several years before Mulan. So it was kind of interesting that they decided to do a remake of this. So I don't know.
It's interesting.
I always liked the original. I remember going to see it when I was 6 years old in the theaters, and I remember really liking it. But I really liked the music in the original too.
Yeah, that's the thing about this movie, which we'll get into, is the music is quite a bit different. It's not much of a focus of music in this film. There is some hints at some scores that were present in the original Mulan, but it is mostly just
it's subdued pretty much for the most part, it seems like.
Yeah, and with that, let's finally just get into it, Kyle. Air our grievances, talk about what we liked and what we disliked. Let's get into the review of the film. Well, I mean, we'll get into our final, like, what our rating is for the actual film itself. But to preface this, this is going to be spoiler filled. I mean, most of the people that have seen Mulan are going to listen to this, because you would generally not watch this movie if you hadn't seen the first Mulan. But if you did just stumble upon a theater and watch this for the first time, I feel like you'd be kind of confused, because I feel like you need to know some of the Mulan backstory that is kind of touched on in the original film to actually kind of know, because they're like hinting at things in this film, but they don't actually explain it. Just things happen and you're like, well, why would that happen? This doesn't make sense. I'm like thinking about all these characters' motivations and stuff, and it just seems silly. But I think to give you some positives of this movie, I do overall like the cast of the film, and I do like the presentation. I like the set design. I like the cinematography as well. I feel like it's a really well shot film overall. A lot of vibrant colors, which is something that Disney did quite well in Aladdin, which is probably one of the better parts of that movie, although that one kind of took it to the extreme. This one, I think, has a better balance of color to it in this one. I know you didn't see the Aladdin one, but wow, that one was like a little too much.
Really?
But in this one, the lead character, I just didn't feel like she is decent as Mulan. I'm not going to say that it's like one of the best performances as far as the Disney princesses go. I feel like she does enough to do the job, but I just didn't feel all the emotions that she felt. And maybe that has something to do with the writing and the storytelling as well.
That's what I would blame it on. If I had to pick a fault, it wouldn't necessarily be with her. I think it's more the writing and how she was being directed throughout the film. There's just many parts where she just is like totally bland and like does not emote hardly at all, even in like intense moments, situations, or sadness. It just feel like there was very little there. And she, like, her dialogue was kind of meh. Like, she didn't offer a whole lot there in personality. Like, and I think that's a fault of the screenplay, not necessarily her as an actress.
Right. I mean, I feel like it is just how they wrote her character, because they are not really interested in making their these characters cartoony, kind of larger than life. I feel like they do get somewhat cartoony with the characters that she's her friends, you know, like Chimpo and Lay. Oh, what's that other guy's name? Those the three characters that she is hanging out with in the original. Some of them kind of feel cartoony in this, but there's mostly just some stilted, somewhat wooden, I guess you could say, like subdued performances, and maybe that's just how by design.
Yeah,
you just don't feel like it's a fun movie. It's more of a, it's not, I don't want to say dread, but somewhere between fun and dread.
That's not like a good thing, though. It's not which, fun. So be.
Just the tone, that's just how the tone is, and there's just not a lot of humor elements. There's not a lot of suspense. There's not a surprise. It's just, I guess the most surprises would be the decisions that they choose to, I guess the biggest surprise.
There is a new character in it.
The lack of things that they added from the things that they added from the original one are just different in a blah way, not really in an exciting way.
I don't know if any of the changes that really made it any better. They did add in another character who I thought she did all right, and it was kind of an interesting concept, the witch. But I don't know. I felt like even with that, it's like they didn't dig into that one too much. But I don't know. I remember the dad's performance and thinking, oh, he's not a very good actor at first. But he did kind of catch on with me as the movie progressed a little bit. And I just think it's one of those movies that's just like the direction of it is just not, there's not like a clear picture. You know, the actors are like inconsistent. Like sometimes they're good, sometimes they're not good in their performances. And so I think there's just an issue here with the direction and what they're trying to convey on the film.
Well, yeah, and I just, the story overall, it's just good versus evil. You don't really know why the evil, because you have the main villain, then you have this witch that's helping him. You don't really know why she's helping him. That was never really made clear to me.
Other than that, she was like a warrior.
Other than she might be free of something. You don't really know what it is. And she can shapeshift. She can do all these magical powers. That's not really explained. I'm not going to get too far into, you know, what they should or shouldn't have explained. But if you're just watching this with no knowledge of the other Mulan, I mean, you would just be kind of confused. I feel like they don't really get into the backstory of why there's this big war. You just are assuming that you're going to care about Mulan just because you know Mulan from the other movie, right? Not because she does anything fantastic or great, or she has a really interesting origin story, because they do kind of briefly go over her origin, which there's this chi force power apparently that she has all of a sudden that is given to her to add some kind of supernatural element to Mulan to make her more interesting.
That's what I find ironic about this, though, is that they are creating this character with supernatural powers in a live action film, but they're wanting it to be more grounded, more realistic. Like, to me, I don't understand. Like, that just seems like it's not, like, it didn't work for me in this, I thought.
Well, I understand. Yeah, I mean, I understand what they're trying to do. They're trying to make it a little different, change things up. But it's just, I would say they played this movie very, very safe. They didn't take any risk whatsoever. They're trying to please anyone and everybody. Even the PG-13 is a stretch.
Yeah.
It is basically PG with a few
very minor,
mild violence.
Like, there was hardly any cussing events, in it,
I guess, to just put it that way. Yeah. I mean, there was maybe some, maybe it was the extra one or two spears to the chest that did it.
Yeah, maybe. I think maybe the witch herself, like, just her character could be a little bit darker for them. I don't know, but...
Yeah, but I feel like I've seen PG movies. I mean, that are Harry dark, Potter yeah. is PG.
Yeah.
A lot of them are. You know, it just seems like I've seen other PG movies that are more, I guess. I mean, if you look at the Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe franchise, you have a lot of different things going on there that could be considered
yeah.
Well, too rough, but I don't know.
One of my biggest issues with this movie is how I believe they made Mulan a less relatable character, and that she really doesn't have a lot of struggle or, you know, personal issues to overcome. She's already given the supernatural ability, and in the original, she doesn't have it. She's trying to work her way up to that level to be able to be a fighter, to be able to, you know, get by in a man's world, essentially. And for this character of Mulan, it's more like she already has a supernatural ability. So what does she really have to convince people of? What is she like? It just feels like it's her and she's above everybody else. So like, what is where's the fight in that, really? Where's the relatable character in that? I didn't.
Well, yeah. I mean, Disney's always wanting to bring in more female characters and have empowered women that are going through trials and tribulations and kind of overcoming them. But
that's what the original did ironic. So well. Like, I thought original conveyed that well. And in this one, it's just she's head and shoulders above her competition. And yet she's supposed
just
to
because
have
she's born that way.
Yeah.
She just has some kind of force power.
Yeah,
this is like a mixture of Star Wars and Marvel kind of origin story, which is just silly. I mean, even at the beginning, I don't know how I thought it was just a complete joke when she's a little girl and she's bopping on top of the buildings. And she's definitely, I mean, this actress is definitely on some kind of string or some kind of harness
to be
throughout the whole thing to make it look like she's jumping and floating and all this stuff, and everybody just thinks it's real cute, and she's like smiling at the end. It's just so cheesy and way overdone there. It's just like that's what she has now. She has some kind of supernatural chi power that makes her more powerful than everyone else, but the original Mulan, she actually had to work for it and stayed like was like day and night working towards getting up to that pillar in the original Mulan with that song playing, "I'll Make a Man Out of You."
Yeah.
And she's
trying. I remember really liking that somehow. Yeah. They didn't have like hardly any of that music. I mean, like very little of it.
I mean, I can understand that they didn't want to go the musical route, but it takes away all the joy out of the movie.
It did, because there wasn't a lot of funny parts to the movie. They took out the funny characters in Mushu, and the cricket, I mean, even was like another little side character there.
Oh, no, the cricket was replaced by the spider. Ooh, the scary spider.
Speaking of silly and ridiculousness, that matchmaker scene, and she's trying to get rid of the spider somehow. So she moves the teapot or whatever, the kettle, and she puts it over the spider. And then the matchmaker gets all angry, like, "Put it back in the middle." And anyways, it's just the matchmaker, like, yeah, she ends up deeming her dishonorable and like never being able to find a true love or just never being decent.
Well, there's like,
I was like, come
there's
on.
This matchmaker gets way more screen time than she needs, but I also feel like there's no suspense when she's going to this matchmaker, because you don't really get an idea of how important it is.
Right. Actually, that's
to be, well, that which was is a, an issue I have. That was because they're just issue. Assuming your knowledge. Again, they're just assuming that you have this knowledge from the original movie that you're going to carry on to this movie. And so you're supposed to feel sorry for Mulan when things don't work out, when
right.
this spider scares her sister, and her sister, I guess, or maybe it was Mulan, threw up the glasses, and then all of a sudden this is like the worst, most damaging thing to their lives because, yeah, oh no, they knocked over a teapot, and now she's so dishonorable.
Yeah, I just think, like, I'm glad you brought up, like, the lack of suspense in the scene like that, because some of the other issues I have with this film are the cutting, like the cutting to another scene, and I felt like it just, there was no suspense, like there was no build up in between scenes really. It was just kind of okay, jump to the next shot real quick, and it was just paced poorly throughout, I thought, with that.
Yeah.
Just yeah, no build up to it whatsoever, just kind of like she's a kid at one moment and then she's grown up the next moment, and very little in between, like just
oh, and you also have this random narration that's going on that doesn't add anything to the movie, I didn't feel like.
Yeah, did that even come up like later throughout, maybe like one or two more times?
There was once the beginning, and then it's like towards the middle, and then it even happens at the end, I feel like. And it's just like, I mean, narrators are never really a good thing in a film, unless you're watching The Princess Bride, which is all time.
Right.
I mean, that's just great right there. But this is obviously something to just fill in the gaps of some kind of expository narration that's going on that doesn't really add anything to the movie. But it's something that maybe in post-production they were like, okay, six-year-olds may not understand what's going on, so let's give them a narration.
Yeah.
And so, I don't know. Well, I mean,
you know, watching another movie like this that's live action, I understand it can't maybe necessarily be perfectly realistic, but how about the fact that she still looked and sounded exactly like a girl whenever she joined the army? Like, it was like, couldn't they have like fixed up her like face a little bit with some CGI or just like some makeup change? Like, they try to make her face look really dirty.
Hey, you're not giving them enough credit. They put little specks of dirt on her face, Kyle,
to make her look like a man. But I was like, wait, are they actually buying that she is a man? Like, come on, she's clearly a woman.
I thought that was the more insane part of the movie, too. Like,
what is
they
going on here?
They couldn't recognize. I mean, I guess you're in front of a bunch of guys and you just assume everybody is. But, I mean, come on. The voice. I mean, even in the original Mulan,
that was more believable.
You could tell her different voice between her real voice and her Ping voice, which she was playing.
She didn't in this really, one. Yeah, she didn't carry a different voice, really. Like, or
she may have set her voice down a tad.
Yeah.
And that was
so
it.
So little.
And then she didn't cut her hair like she did.
She put it in a bun.
Put it in a bun. And I guess in Chinese culture, they said that men would often have long hair, so it was okay to keep the long hair. But in this one, it just made her look too much like a girl. I mean, they didn't add anything new to her. Her look, her voice was pretty much the same. We've kind of touched on that.
Well, and then Zach, how about the fact that the general or whatever is, you know, making all these statements like, if you are a woman or if you are dishonest, or it's the death penalty.
Yeah.
The death penalty is what I thought what we would get if she was found out to be a woman. They end up just she gets expulsion or whatever. So, I was like, wait, I thought there's a death penalty for, like, it was like, what?
It was confusing because then he says, if you come back, because, well, okay, I get it. Like, she helped save everybody. And then he's like, you're going to be she would rather die than be expulsion or I guess leave.
Well, so
and then
he says
if you come back again, you're going to die.
So, which
back.
I mean, like, she said she would rather die anyway. So why wouldn't she just stay and then die? Right?
Well, then she leaves and then she comes back and they just a few sentences later, well, let's get her back into the group, guys.
Yeah, this, I mean, this just like was not even following its own rules. I just thought it was just kind of, that was another just cheesy moment. Or how about the fact that she's fighting with the warriors,
back, going back to the original Mulan, you have this scene, which I feel like the original Mulan should be PG-13 compared to this. I mean, they had some gruesome things that they kind of glossed over in Mulan, the original. I mean, you had Mulan bleeding at one point. She got stabbed. And you also have the particular scene we're talking about is when she comes to the general after they find out she's a woman. And then the general gets his sword out. And then it looks like he's about to chop her head off.
Right.
And then he just all of a sudden stops and puts the sword down and says, a life for a life. Your debt has been repaid. And then they move along. I mean, that is a powerful moment in that movie because she is all alone at that point.
Right.
And she can't join her comrades. And this one, it just completely glosses over that. And there's no kind of suspense or threat to her life whatsoever. And that's why it's just such a disappointment in this character in this movie. It's just a Disney-produced movie through and through. They did not take any risks. It was just, I guess you could say, board of directors getting together and producers and just saying, this is what we can do. This is all the safe things we can do to make this the most bland movie possible,
hopefully,
but we'll make a lot of money. Yeah. That's what they thought.
Yeah.
And so far it has done okay on Disney Plus, but it just is sad that Disney just doesn't feel like it can take any risks with these remakes.
Well, and I think what they considered their biggest risk was making this PG-13. So it's going to be real risky there for Disney. It turns out to be one of their most bland films.
Yeah, it was pretty bland as far as PG-13 goes. I mean, I actually forgot it was PG-13, and I watched the whole movie. Yeah. And I was like, man, is this PG? Because I'm sure maybe they were teetering with that. I mean, they could have taken out certain things to make it PG if they really wanted to, but yeah. It's just, the way they do movie ratings is interesting in itself. We should just do a whole episode on that one day. But
yeah, I don't know. To me, this movie just defies like logic. Like, you had another scene where she's fighting with the woman, the other warrior, the witch, and she like falls onto like the ice or whatever, and it cracks. You see like it from the bottom, like it's cracked, and that's it. And, like she like you're thinking, oh, she's gonna fall in. And then it's like going to be a tough predicament to be in for her.
Nothing happened. You could have had her flailing around. Nothing make it look like happened. She's drowning or something.
Yeah, it was just like, well, and why did you even show that?
Victorious. It's just tough when you add this chi supernatural element to her character, because then she just becomes really lame. Because there's no danger. You don't feel anything. For this character,
there's no heightened suspense or a tough predicament that she's going to be stuck in that she couldn't get herself out of.
And another thing, they make her like, you know, Mulan's kind of a klutz in the original movie, right. And this movie she's just knows. Yeah, she's got this chi power, and she's it almost made it look like at the beginning when she was not doing as well as the other gentleman, when she's actually with the force, you know, mm-hmm. when she's with the guys and they're doing their training,
right?
It made it seem like she was faking doing all these things poorly because she didn't want to release her chi. Yes. And why does she not? Why can't she release her chi? Well, we don't really know.
It's not really said because she's told to be a certain way, maybe, so she has to.
Yes, but withhold. She is now a man, so to speak.
Yeah.
So why does it matter if she shows her chi? It's not going to.
So many unanswered questions that we could ask about this movie.
It just doesn't make any sense, man. Yeah. It's just overall disappointing. I feel like I would give this the production value alone is pretty impressive when you're looking at the film. It is
beautiful to look at. It's adequate in a lot of
areas. I would say adequate. But I'm going to go with a 5.5 out of 10 on this one with my overall rating, because it could have been better, could have been worse. I mean, I feel like there's other remakes that are worse than this. I feel like Aladdin was worse than this. Some people may disagree. I liked the genie in that movie, but that's about it. And then this one,
it's so forgettable.
A lot of missed opportunities. Missed opportunities, forgettable characters, forgettable movie, a lot of the remakes, which are not a lot of rewatchable ones out there, just because I'd rather watch the originals than most of the remakes. But it's sad to say, because I was excited to see this really rise above and do something a little bit more, risky. But what did you think?
I'm going to give it a 4.5 out of 10. Disappointed overall. It's adequate, like I said, in a lot of the production. I didn't think it was necessarily the fault of the actors or actresses. I thought it was more the screenplay and the direction that they were put in. A lot of flaws in the movie that I felt didn't work. And it's just highly inferior to the original story. I would avoid skipping buying it for $30 on Disney Plus,
honestly. Yeah, because it's going to be coming, I believe, in December.
I think it was November. Well, it's going to be off. You're not going to be able to purchase it after November. So probably, December then is when it will be.
It'll be available. The beginning of December. I think it was December 4th that it'll be coming to Disney Plus as an included portion of the subscription service. So you can buy it up until November something or other. It's like November 4 or something. And then you can actually just watch it in December. So if you do want to watch it, I'd say it's a fairly family-friendly movie. There is some violent scenes. There are people getting stabbed by spears, but there's not really any blood to speak of.
Yeah, maybe it's minor.
A few drops here and there. There is like a supernatural element with the witch that makes an appearance. But I feel like the villain in the original one is much scarier than these people.
Yeah,
I mean, these
the Huns were scary in the original. I thought
the Huns were terrifying. Like, they did some real things. Some
big dudes that just looked dark and sinister.
Disney just had more risk taking back then with some of their animated movies, and this it ruins the spirit of the original, because you're not taking these risks. You're not pushing the envelope a little bit like you were with the original. And that's what makes this one kind of not as interesting.
Well, and Disney's so huge, it's like they don't really have to worry about trying to take a risk. Like, why do they need to take unnecessary risks? They're already huge and own a lot of different things. So...
Yeah, they really don't. They're in this position where they are.
It's kind of like Madden
with cash.
It's like Madden running a monopoly on video games.
Yeah, basically,
and they just try anymore.
So flushed with cash that they just do not need to really make anything. I mean, they are making original films in some of their other studios, but with their remakes is mostly what I'm talking about. They just don't take a lot of risks. So yeah. It's unfortunate, but. You know, we'll see what the next remake does. I think it's the Little Mermaid, and then there's some other ones. I think the Hunchback of Notre Dame is another one they're looking into and they're doing.
I think the Little Mermaid.
There's a lot of them in the works.
The Little Mermaid would be interesting to see what they capture visually with that, because I think they could make that a pretty interesting world, like undersea.
Yeah. Oh yeah, I think if they get the right team together, they can make it work really well, and hopefully. Make it a little more fun.
Hopefully.
But thank you guys. Yeah. Well, more fun than this for sure. I don't want to say that this is a completely terrible movie, because it's not, but there's a lot of gripes that I have with this movie that just make it overall not enjoyable. But feel free to check it out on Disney Plus. And it's $30 right now, but after December 4th, you should be able to just watch it without having to pay for it. Thank you guys once again for listening to our podcast. And if we piqued your interest, if you're wanting to just watch it just to see if we were right and we had some good points, feel free to check it out, or just wait until December to watch it as well. Because Disney Plus is the only place you can get. I think they might have released it also on Amazon Prime and other streaming platforms where you can get it, but it's mostly on Disney Plus right now with an additional payment of $30. But make sure you guys tune in next week as we are going to be doing the original Mulan. I know we've referenced it a lot in this podcast.
It's basically just like a part two.
It'll be Mulan takes. Part two.
Yeah.
The original, which we're going to get into the background. We're going to get into some more fun facts and the production and just talk about what made that movie so special.
Yep. Looking forward to it.
So looking forward to you guys hanging out with us next week. Thank you guys so much for joining us again this week on Classically Current.
If you like this, please be sure to subscribe wherever you get your podcast so that you will never miss a show.
And if you guys found value in our show, we'd love it if you guys gave us a review so that we can continue to grow and reach more enthusiastic movie fans in the future.
Or if you'd simply tell a friend about the show, that would help us out a lot too.
Be sure to tune in next week.
Thanks again for joining us.
Stay classy
and stay current.